What I'd like to find is a bridge between Parshas Vayeshanan that we read a few days ago and Parshas Ekev. I want to focus with you on a few psukim in Parshas Vayeshanan and a few in Parshas Ekev. And if we line them up, one near the other, we'll see on the one hand how similar they are, but on the other hand, because of the repetition, we're going to have to find the differences between the two. So we're looking in Perek Vav, and we're looking at Psukim Yud to Yud Beis in Parshas Vayeshanan, and the Torah says, "V'haya ki yivyacha Hashem Elokecha el haaretz asher nishba l'avosecha li'avraham li'itzchak li'yakov l'ses loch." Arim gdolos v'tovos asher lo banisa. We are now entering the land, and we are enjoying the benefit of great, vast, and wonderful cities that we didn't even build. Batim leim kol tuva shalom yileisa, boros chatzuv mashalo chatzavta, kramim v'zeisim mashalo natata. So we're basically enjoying the fat of the land, v'yachalta v'savata. Everything seems to be wonderful. We didn't even have to put in a stitch of work. No effort. Then the Torah says, "Hishamalcha pentishkach es Hashem asher hotziacha me'eretz Mitzrayim beis avadim." At this juncture, and seemingly there's some connection between the Reish and the Sefer, because we've enjoyed all the benefits that have just been showered upon us when we enter into the land, we have to be careful lest we forget Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim. Notice, please, that the Torah uses the language "Hishamalcha pen." And what do we usually classically derive from that kind of a language? A losase in the Torah. Correct. Every losase is formulated in one of two or three ways. Either lo, x, or it could be hisham lecha, x, or pen, x. And here the Torah uses this language to indicate that there is a lav. The Torah is warning us, pen tishkach es Hashem asher hotziacha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now we're going to fast forward two chapters to Parashas Ekev, Perek Ches, and here there's a whole section of about eight psukim, and there are great similarities here. Again, we're enjoying the benefits of the land of Israel. Again, the Torah starts with V'achalta V'savata, as we saw before. However, here the Torah commands us in the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, and then in the very next pasuk, Hisham Lecha Pen. Once again, the Torah adds this formulation, which is indicative of a classical losas in the Torah. Pen tishkach es Hashem Elokecha. Notice, if you will, one important change. In Parshas Vayeshanan, it's pen tishkach es Hashem, without the word, the additional name Elokecha. Here, it's the additional Elokecha. And now we're going to see another change. In the Hemshech, it says, Lebilti shmar mitzvosav mishpotav v'chukosav asher anochi mitzavcha yom. Whereas before, the emphasis is totally on forgetting Hashem, here the emphasis on the, you know, what's going to happen down the pipeline. If we forget Hashem, we will forsake His mitzvos, His mishpatim, and His chukim. And then the Torah says something which is again very similar, very parallel to what we saw early in Parshas Vayeshanan, pen tochal v'savata, you're going to be satiated. Batim tovim tivne v'yashavta, you're going to live off the fat of the land, you've built these palaces, and you have kol tuv, kol asher l'cha yarbeh, everything is in, you know, in great quantity. And then here the Torah adds another phrase which we don't find earlier, v'ram l'vavecha v'shachachtos Hashem Elokecha. Here the Torah emphasizes that we will forget Hashem, but again, the Torah is consistent, it's Hashem Elokecha. But this follows from V'ram Levavcha. We'll see later on that the Gemara in Sota derives from this phrase, V'ram Levavcha, the Iser to be a Balgaiva, not to be haughty. But as a result of all the great things that we have, and attributing these accomplishments to ourselves, we may come to V'ram Levavecha, and the Torah again warns us that as a result, if we're not careful, we're going to forget God, who took us out of Mitzrayim. And now the Torah goes into a great, great presentation, a very detailed presentation, about all the things that Hashem did, all the miracles He brought upon us, having taken us, redeemed us out of Mitzrayim. It's not just redemption from Mitzrayim. What else has Hashem done for us? Hamolichava Midbar Agadol Vanora. Now the Torah gives us this frightening description of the Midbar in which we traveled, we sojourned for 40 years, and God is guiding us. To what extent is He protecting us? Hamotzilcha Mayim Mitzur Chalomish. Despite the tzimaon, the thirst, God provides us with water miraculously. And as far as food is concerned, sustenance, machilcha man. And this is man, asher lo yada'un avosecha, who was not known to our great tzaddikim, our forefathers. So that the whole picture that we're getting here is that God is bestowing, is showering upon us one miracle after the other. L'mana noscha, l'mana soscha, le'tivcha bachrisecha. The Bali Musar here have a lot to say about where's the Inui here? After all, Hashem is providing us with man. But apparently there was a certain element of Inui because the tzaddikim would find the man, the Pesach Oel. But if a person was a Beinoni, it means he violated certain averos, even if he did so the night before, and possibly even a Machshava Ra, he's not going to find the man on his footstep. He's going to have to go out to the Pesach Ha'ir, out to the entrance to the city. And if he's a Rasha, he'll have to go even further. He won't find it waiting for him there. He's going to have to go out beyond the city limits. And of course, publicly collecting the man, this looks a little embarrassing. Like, why weren't you able to get the man, Pesach Peso? But in any event, this whole slew of Nisyonos is meant for our benefit. The Torah goes out of its way to point out that whatever suffering we experienced, all the tribulations, that's all for our benefit. Le'tivcha bachrisecha. In any event, getting back to our main theme here, we've entered into Eretz Yisrael, we conquered the land, and, you know, we start bragging, we start building ourselves up, as we saw of Aram Levavcha. Wow, we feel great. It was our military prowess, our might. We're going to soon see the Ramban on this. The Amarta Bilvavcha, the famous statement, Kochi v'yotzim yadi asali asachayal azeh. But we're making a grave error. If we attribute our successes to ourselves, if we say Kochi v'yotzim yadi, oh no, that's a tremendous mistake, which could lead us, chas v'shom, to forget about Hashem. V'zachartas Hashem alokecha, ki hu anosein l'cha koach lasos chayil. The Ramban is going to point out that not only is there a losase here with regard to forsaking our amunah, faith in God, our belief in Him, but there's also an asay. We have to remember Hashem, ki hu hanosin l'chol koach lasos chayil. Any chayil that we were able to achieve, all the successes as a result of implementing whatever plans we had, is all attributed to God. He's the one who gave us the koach. And why did he do so? Levan Hakim as Briso Asher Nishbal Avosecha Kayom Azeh. Because he entered into a covenant with our forefathers, and that covenant was strengthened with a shvua, with an oath. God would not think of violating that oath, and therefore he protected us. Where does the Ramban go out of his way to point out that there's a losaseh here that has to be counted amongst the 613? I don't know if you have it in front of you. You know that the Ramban has written a critique on the Rambam's magnum opus on the mitzvahs, and that's called the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam. The Ramban writes Shichachas HaEsin, Shichachas HaLavin. He critiques the Rambam for having omitted certain mitzvahs, whether they be Esin or Losas. And the very first mitzvahs Losas that the Ramban claims the Rambam omitted, HaMitzvah Rishona, Shenimnenu Shelo Yishkach Echad Mimenu Emunas Elokis. Not one of us should forsake or forget about our belief in Hashem. And this is essentially Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. We have to understand that there's a God. He created the world. Everything that's within the universe was engendered by God. Me'ayin Mukhlat El Hayesh, from nothingness into something, into an existence. El Hayesh Sheyachbot Tzbo B'chol Zman B'chol Zmanim. And this process of creation, says the Ramban, is continuous for every time. And that's included under Anochi Hashem Elokech Asher Tzeisicha Me'er Mitzrayim Shei Mitzvah Be'emunah. And that the Rambam does have. But what he doesn't have, says the Ramban, is the flip side, the lo sase. And Tziva osanu b'zos ha'muna sheyisoda Torah. We have to believe in Hashem's power and His creation. The fact that He redeemed us from Mitzrayim. That's the yisod, the foundation of Torah. But more than that, kafalanu minia, He also gave us the flip side, which is minia, that's a losa sebekfira, to deny Hashem. The hu sha'amro, and this is the pasuk of Aschanon that we just read, hishamalcha petishkach es Hashem asher otzeisicha, asher otziacha meretz Mitzrayim yibes avadim, yirtze vazeh shlo nishkach iker alokus. We should not forget God. God should be a constant awareness in our memory. And if we come to deny God or even to have doubts and say that Ein Eloka, there is no God, perhaps we'll come up with an idea, a philosophy that Olam Kadmon, that the universe was eternal, Biatzmo, self-created, O Kadmon, or perhaps it was eternal, Besiba, Viola, V'lo Yishtana, but the earth and the universe could never change. Therefore, God gives us a proof for this. Haraya! The proof for this is Yetzias Mitzrayim. God intervenes in human affairs. He saves the people and redeems them. Nase ba'osos u'b'mosim u'chudoshim, and there are wonders and signs and miracles. And all these morim, they all indicate Eloka Kadmon, that God is eternal. Chafetz v'yachol mechadish. He can create and He can change. And this concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to give us the power l'shatei kol kofer b'chidush ha'olam. And you may remember the Ramban in Parshas Bo. In the past we've spoken about it, how the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim prove that God created the world and the world is not eternal. It proves all the Yesodei Amuna. It proves that God has hashgach on the world. He's omnipotent. And then the Ramban says, "V'kafal haminiyah azos," and that losa says repeated in Parshas Ekev, "V'amar yisbarach yishamalcha petishkach es Hashem alokecha lebilti shmar mitzvosav v'zui gamkein miniyah milishkoach emun elokis." This too generates a violation of a losa says if we chas shalom deny our belief in God v'sheyifkar and come to kfira. And the kfir is going to lead us to deny the Torah and the mitzvos. The Omer and the Torah says, "V'ram levavcha v'shachachtas Hashem alokecha hamotziacha me'eretz Mitzrayim yibeis avodin." And therefore, says the Ramban, God gives us so many proofs that He exists, that He is omnipotent, that He is the power, that He has providence, that He has given us the Torah. And all these proofs are written here in Parshas Ekev, the Osos, the Mosim, the Gdolim, the Noroim, Hamalichacha Bamidbar, He protects you for 40 years of the Midbar, the Tovos and all the goodness that He's bestowed upon you, the protection, the Im Shachach Tishkach Hashem Alkecha, and if you forget all of this, then you violated this law. So basically the law that engenders a prohibition of forgetting Hashem, according to the Ramban, it has to be included in Tariq Mitzvahs, is repeated. It's formulated once in Parshas Vayeschanan and a second time in Parshas Ekev. And what we'd like to understand is, why did this prohibition, this Easter, have to be repeated twice? Why is it written in Parshas Vayeschanan and again in Parshas Ekev? And furthermore, why the perhaps subtle distinctions between the two? In Parshas Vayeschanan, it says, "Lo lishkach Hashem amotziacha me'eretz Mitzrayim." No mention of the man, no mention of the protection through the miracles that God gave us throughout the 40 years in the Midbar. In Parshas Ekev, on the other hand, there's a whole arichus here in which the man is mentioned and all the nisim of the Midbar. Again, a second question: why is it in Parshas Vayeschanan it says Pentishkach es Hashem, whereas in Parshas Ekev it says Pentishkach es Hashem Elokecha? And finally, The third difference is that whereas in Parshas Ekev, in the second case, it says v'ram levavcha v'shachachtas Hashem alkecha, that pasuk of v'ram levavcha is completely omitted in Parshas Veschanan. So just to summarize what we've said so far, the Ramban adds a lav in the Torah of forgetting Hashem. He bases himself first and foremost on Parshas Veschanan, and then he says v'kaf al hamini azos. The Torah repeats itself in Parshas Ekev. So the Ramban is basing himself on both Parshios, and the question that begs itself, why did the Torah repeat itself? And we mentioned the somewhat subtle differences between the two presentations of the Torah. I'd like to take a little bit of time to read with you the Ramban in Parshas Ekev. The Ramban in Parshas Ekev is in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches. The Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to refute this claim of Klal Yisrael of Kochi V'Otzem Yodi. Yodua, Ki Yisrael Giborim V'Anshei Chayil Milchama. The Torah testifies, and you won't find it here, the Ramban is paraphrasing a pasuk in Yirmiyahu in Perek Mem Ches, but there the Tanakh describes the people of Israel as people of great power, of great prowess, both militarily and in terms of their commerce. Ki nimshalu, the people of Israel are compared, and this we'll see in Parshas Balak, la arayos ulizeev yitrof. We'll also see it in the brachos that Yaakov Avinu bestows upon the Shvatim in Parshas Vayechi. So the Jewish people are mighty, they're brave, they're men of war. They're likened to lions and wolves. Umalchi Knan b'melchama nitzchu osam. They were able to completely destroy the great kings of Knan. Al Kain Omar. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch wants to tell us here in Parshas Ekev, im tachshov, if the idea will cross your mind, kochi v'otzem yadi, why not attribute all this great success and these military battles and victories to ourselves? Tizkar, I want to remind you of something Hashem says. Shashem hotziacha mi Mitzrayim, that God brought you out of Egypt. You couldn't have done it on your own. Lo hayelcha sham koach v'yotzim yad klal. You have to admit that in Mitzrayim, we had no strength and no power whatsoever. V'tizkar od, and furthermore, don't forget, ki b'midbar asher ein l'kel yodecha lichyos sham. You don't have, in the natural order of things, the power to secure yourself and to live. And yet, asa l'cha kol tzarchecha, Hashem took care of all your needs. In kein gam achayel azer shasisa b'kochcha, you should derive the conclusion and apply this rule to the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. And all the wealth that you may have gained, which you think is by means of your strength, no. Hashem hu shenasen l'cha koach kasher asiso so. You have to understand that this all comes from Hashem. V'im tishkach es Hashem, if you're going to come up with this whole philosophy of kochi v'otzim yodi, yichle kochacha, ultimately, your strength will completely, this will be terminated. Usheirecha, and even your very body, the she'er is the body, will also, yichle, will reach a state of kilui, will completely be powerless. V'toved kasher avduhem, and your destiny will not be any better than the destiny of those that you vanquished in war, the Knanim. Ki kol ozvei Hashem yichlu, the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anov. But let's go on and see the next Ramban, where the Ramban wants to explain that the success in conquering the land of Israel to develop its wealth is not to be attributed to their own strength. Says the Ramban, V'od chazal avi raya cheres. Shelo yachshav kochi v'otzim yodi, etc. I'm going to bring you more proof, says Moshe Rabbeinu. And if in Perek Ches, here in this context of Parshas Ekev, the Ramban says that Moshe already brought proof from all the miracles that took place in Egypt, all the miracles that took place in the Midbar, that none of these successes could have been explained naturally. Now he proves the same point from the very conquest of the land of Israel. The Omar, now the Torah says, and this is the beginning of Perek Tes, you know, the Ramban always wants to find the flow, the continuum of the Psukim, Shema Yisrael. Now, it's, you know, this is all part of one long Musa Shmuz of Moshe Rabbeinu. All of a sudden, in the middle, he says Shema Yisrael. You know, sometimes you give a shir or you give a Musa Shmuz, you got to wake up the Olam. Hey, listen carefully. I want to say something important. So the Ramban says that's exactly what Moshe is doing here. He's employing a pedagogical skill. And he's saying, Shema Yisrael, and here the Ramban adds three words to the Pasuk, Dvar MSVP. In other words, I'm going to tell you something that's very significant, that is very true. And he says, Ki Agoyim Ha'elu, let's look at the nations that occupy Canaan. He says, Hem Gdolim V'Atsumim Yoser Mimeka. They are much stronger than you. They're greater than you. Eich Tenatzchein V'Mulchama. How can you possibly succeed based on nature? Now we know that the Meraglim already told the people of Israel how powerful these giants are. But truth be told, that even before the Meraglim came with their report, it was already a known fact that they were very powerful. The Od, and not only are they powerful with their natural, you know, might, but beyond that, Yesh Lehem Orim Gdolos Ubeturos. They have, you know, Lerum HaShamayim. They have cities, skyscrapers that reach Shamayim. Okay, today it's tunnels, but it's all the same idea. V'eich tichbosh osam, how can you possibly conquer them? So first and foremost, the nations that occupy Eretz Yisrael are powerful and mighty. They're sitting protected in great and fortified cities. Naturally, you won't be able to, you can't explain it and justify your ability to succeed in conquering them. And finally, the Od, Shesham Am Gadol V'Ram B'nei Anokim, these are great people, the children of giants. Sha'ati Yadato Min Amaraglim Shero Osam, you've already heard that testimony from the spies. V'yata Shamata Miyomim Rishonim, but you even heard it from earlier days. In other words, even before the Meraglim came, you heard about it. Because again, in the Pasuk it says, Shema Yisrael, Atem, Ata Over Hayom Es Hayardein, Lovel Reshes, Goyim Gdol V'Atzum Yimeka, Orim Gdol Z'Bitzuris V'Shamayim, Am Gdol V'Ram, V'nei Amokam Asher Ata Yadata V'Ata Shamata. So the Ramban is bothered by the repetition of these two phrases, Ata Yadata V'Ata Shamata. Well, if you know it, why do you have to tell me you heard it? And if you heard it, why do you have to tell me you know it? Says the Ramban, the Ata Yadata and the Ata Shamata is referring to two different things. Yadata means you knew it because of the information that you received from the Meraglim. And Shamata means that you heard it even from Yomim Rishonim, from early days. In other words, it was a legend about the people who occupied Canaan. Shelo yisyatzev adam b'fneihem. No one has the power to stand up against them. Ukshizbar lecha kol zeh, when all this becomes clear to you, you should know from now and forevermore and believe from this day onward that you're unable to lavar, to cross into the land lahem aleim and conquer them to the point when you finally understand in your heart ha'over lefanecha. Who's going in? Who's crossing the Yarden to conquer the land? Who Eish Achla? It's really the fire of Hashem, the consuming fire. Who Yashmidem V'Yachniem? It is He that destroys and humbles them. And this you'll see here in Pasuk Gimel. V'Yadata Ayom Ki Hashem Elokecha Hu Ha'Over Lefanecha Eish Achla Hu Yashmidem V'Hu Yachniem Lefanecha. All this is meant, according to Ramban, as a further proof to undermine their argument of Kochi v'otzim yadi asal liyasachayel hazeh. That's what the Ramban says in the finale. He says, lo koch v'otzim yad sheyesh loch. It's not your koch, it's not your hand. Aval yad Hashem asal sezos b'takifin shebahem. It's the hand of Hashem that has accomplished this against the mighty ones, the takifin amongst them. And therefore you understand when you're fighting this, it's only because Hashem grants you an unusual kind of strength above and beyond the natural law to defeat these mighty ones. And perhaps what the Ramban means here when he says, Yad Hashem Asasa Zos, maybe what the Ramban means is that when it comes to fighting this battle, God gave you strength, but when it comes to fighting and battling against the Takifin Shebahem, meaning the mighty ones, the strongest of them, then it's Yad Hashem, it's a direct intervention of Hashem. Hashem is going to defeat them. You're not even going to defeat them at all. And therefore there's no pretense here of Kochi v'otzim yadi asali asachayel hazeh. Perhaps, in the light of the words of the Ramban, we could begin to suggest that there's a fundamental difference between the Shichicha in Parshas Vaeschanan and the Shichicha in Parshas Ekev. There are two kinds of experiences in which man forgets God. One I would call Hesek Hadas. You know, life is too comfortable, it's too great, and I don't have to create any sort of philosophy, ideology, theology. Simply, God falls away from my consciousness. He's no longer on my mind. That's almost a natural, automatic shichicha that doesn't require great debates and arguments and proofs one way or the other. Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim. You are obligated to believe in my existence. But you know what? You get so sidetracked. You get so involved. As the pasuk says, you've entered into the land, and look what you have in front of you. Kol tuv. You've got Aram Gedolos, Slobanisa, Batamaleim, Kol tuv, everything. V'achalta v'savata. You know, life is good. And sometimes when life is too good, we forget about God. Hishamalcha pentishkach es Hashem. This is not what I call a rebellion against God. This is not what I would call standing up and denying God with kfira and making a whole to-do with theological arguments. This is just Hesek Hadas. This is just, you know, forgetting about Hashem. That perhaps is Parshas Vaeschanan. But then we get to Parshas Ekev. And here in Parshas Ekev, we're talking about a whole different quality, a whole different classification or category of Shichicha. This is a much more kuva, say, an active shichicha. This is not hesek hadas. Here we come up with an entire theology. Kochi v'yotzem yodi asali asachayel hazeh. Here it's v'rom levavcha. Here our hearts become so proud of ourselves. We look at our accomplishments and we beef ourselves up. Man likes to believe in himself. Man likes to be autonomous and claim for himself that he is the source of power. Man becomes drunk with his own power until he reaches the point at which he denies God. This is real kfira. This is really creating what I call a denial, a theology, a rebellion against the ikar ha'emuna, the fundamentals of our faith. And here, the Torah says, you've forgotten Hashem Elokecha. Elokecha means the God who's involved in your lives, the God who is a living God, the God who asks you for loyalty, for Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, as we saw in the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvos. And at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu goes into a long tirade, a very lengthy and detailed counter-argument to prove the existence of God against kfira. And I believe that what the Ramban is trying to tell us is that this love, even though it's being given to Klal Yisrael at a particular juncture in their history, and one moment in which Bnei Yisrael conquer the land, This is not when they enter the land. This is when they've already, you know, there's 14 years, 7 of military success and conquest, 7 of Chalukah. Now at the end of this 14-year period, it's Verum Levavcha. And now we come up with a whole kfira, which the Ramban mentions here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But this, I think, if it's codified in the Tariq Mitzvahs, Ludore Doros, means that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us something to that generation that has to be meaningful for us as a Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, throughout all of history. I believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to inject a certain belief into Klal Yisrael, into the very fiber, the very spiritual DNA structure of the people of Israel. And it's going to be such a powerful dose that Im Yirtzeh Hashem will never forget. It's going to be part of our essence, part of our very personalities, our soul as a Jewish nation. And perhaps we can point out that when we create this new, shall we call it Shitah Hadashah, this new theology, in which Kochi V'Otzem Yadi, we claim that it's our power. What we are denying here is Hashem Elokecha. Elokecha means Hanhaga. That everything that happens in our lives as a nation is a result of Hanhaga Elokit, of God's divine providence, of His guiding us through history. We're no longer talking about forgetting God because we're so involved in our own daily lives. We're talking about something much more phenomenal, much more fundamental. We're talking about a shita, a theology in which kochi v'otzem yadi, and that leads to a denial of God's existence. I think that there's another Ramban, and this is quoted in the Sefer Shalmei Nachum, and I ask you to look it up if you can. Let's read the psukim in Vizos HaBrach, mamish, the last three psukim in the Torah itself. And we'll look at the Ramban there. The Torah says the following. Lokam Navi Od B'Yisrael K'Moshe. We've never had a greater prophet than Moshe. Asher Yada'o Hashem Panim El Panim. God knows him face to face. L'chol ha'osos v'amosim asher shlocha Hashem lasos b'eretz Mitzrayim l'fa'u l'chol avodav u'l'chol arza u'l'chol ayad hachazok l'chol ha'mora agod al-shar osa Moshe li'enei kol Yisrael. Now notice, which I think the Ramban is going to address without even formulating the questions, that these three psukim are at the surface level very choppy, very unrelated one to the other. The first pasuk in this series categorizes the status of Moshe Rabbeinu as a Navi. The second one speaks about the great miracles that Moshe brings about for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And the third pasuk speaks about the fact that there was Mora Gadol, there was Yad Chazaka, it was all engendered by Moshe, and Li'enei Kol Yisrael. I think the Ramban is going to try to create, as he always does, a miksha acha, some sort of integrity, some sort of connection between all these psukim. The Ramban says the following. I want to begin, this is a long Ramban, we don't have time for all of it, but if you go about two-thirds into the Ramban, you will see, and this is the Ramban on Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Ramban gives various interpretations, possibilities, how to connect these psukim, but now he gives what he thinks is considered the plain meaning of the text. Hakol kosher u'mechubar. Everything here in all these psukim is connected and is together, is tied up together. Yomar, in the first pasuk, Hashem declares, Lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe asher yido Hashem panim el panim. He says, there's something very unique about Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's in the first pasuk. Then he says, which again is meant to prove and establish the unique status of Moshe Rabbeinu, Lasos, osos, umos, v'yod chazok umor gadol. He says, vilasos. You see, we don't have the vav at the beginning of pasuk yud aleph, so that the Ramban, by adding a vav, is connecting pasuk yud to pasuk yud aleph, and he's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu brings about all these miracles. He calls them osos, umosim, signs, wonders. V'yad chazaka umara gadol. We've never seen any Navi, this is the Ramban's take on this, who brought about such miracles with such awesome power, with such a strong hand. That is to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is unique not just because he sees Hashem face to face, he knows God intimately, but also because he brings about wonders and miracles. But not only that, the miracles that are being described are Yad Chazak U'mora Gadol. That's unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, it's very possible that other Nevi'im throughout history will bring about miracles, but their miracles will never reach this level of the miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu, which are described as Yad Chazak U'mora Gadol. Says the Ramban, from time to time, occasionally they can create such miracles, but lohigiu lirubam, no prophet in history will bring about such a quantity of miracles, velolamala hagdola, and not a quality of the miracles brought about by Moshe Rabbeinu, which are called yad chazakum or gadol. In other words, the prophets will not approach Moshe Rabbeinu neither in the number of miracles nor in the greatness of the miracles. Kilohoya kiyom Sinai lefanav yachrov, and the greatest proof of this is Har Sinai. There was nothing before Har Sinai, and there won't be anything after Har Sinai that is similar to the gilui of Hashem at Har Sinai. Remember, we heard the voice of Hashem directly, and the Ramban always emphasizes that, especially in Parshas Vayeshanan. V'chein lo higiu osos hanavim lizman hagadol asher higiahu olav hashalom. The Ramban adds another point here, and that is that the miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu were not limited or constricted to one moment in time. They extended over a great length of time, for 40 years. Ki os haman, the miracle of the man was continuous for 40 years. Amud ha'esh v'anan, likewise, the pillar of fire and the cloud was for 40 years. Gam be'er, and the well, and the slav, the quail. Al das rabosenu, and here the Ramban is referring to the Sifri. V'lechtom ha'midbar ha'godol v'anora, he's paraphrasing Al psukim in Parshas Ekev, that describe the Midbar as Gadol, Venora, it's awesome, it's great, Nachash, Saraf, Akrav, Tzimon, and nevertheless, Lo Chasru, Davar, they weren't lacking anything during this entire period of 40 years. In other words, if we take this Ramban at the end of the Torah, and we attach it to the Ramban in Parshas Ekev, then we begin to see a picture of our Emuna, our faith, that has two different elements to it. One element is the miracles themselves. After all, Klal Yisrael, you can't possibly say theologically, well, Kochi V'yotzi, there's no God. That kfira doesn't hold water, because how could you possibly have succeeded? But furthermore, we saw in Parshas Ekev that the pasuk says, V'ram levavcha, I'm sorry, it says, Hishom lecha petishkach sashem lekech levilti shmar mitzvosav mishpatav v'chukosav. We're going to come to such a state of kthira if we violate the shikacha, that we're going to deny the mitzvahs of Hashem. Well, the Torah itself testifies, not here, but in Parshas Vizos HaBracha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a unique prophet. The Torah itself embodies or perhaps we could say is identical with the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. If we appreciate who Moshe Rabbeinu is, the level and the status of his nevuah, then we can never come to deny Hashem. So all these parshios, whether it's Vaschanon, whether it's Akev, whether it's parshas Vezos HaBrach, are all coming, miksha achas, to penetrate into the minds and souls of Knesset Yisrael for all time, the fundamental beliefs, the arguments that should be so basic to our emunah, to our faith. And therefore, we're going to look at the Ramban again in Parshas Ekev, where the Ramban points out, as we saw a few minutes ago, that these psukim are coming to prove that we cannot forget Hashem. And again, Shema Yisrael Dvar Emes Mipi, says the Ramban. That Moshe Rabbeinu, in the middle of this long presentation, wakes them up. And he says, Shema Yisrael Dvar Emes Mipi. Who are these nations? They're so powerful. These are the children of the giants. You knew from the Meraglim, you heard it from the legends before the Meraglim. No one can stand in front of them. Are you getting the message here? And again, Rabosai, sometimes I can't hold myself back. When you read the news and you realize what we're facing here, your brain can't accept. The mind, it bursts. From the pressure. You're talking about the South. I don't know if you've read any of the reports I saw in Arutz Sheva. That's where I get my news from. Forget about Hamas down south. The other Shvad Siyar, all the other Rishonim that are worse than Hamas, if there's such a thing. And then you talk about the North and the Hezbollah, and you talk about Yudav Shomron, like it's all over the place. What are we putting our faith in Mitzrayim and in the Egyptians? I mean, tomorrow, who's going to take over Egypt? I mean, look at what's happening in the Middle East. So we've got to believe that emunah that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, that at the end of the day, it's not kochi v'otzim yadi, says the Ramban. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to argue with one argument and one proof after the other until finally it's going to sink in. And finally we're going to realize and declare that it all depends on Hashem. Now, Rabosa, I say this at the risk of sounding very frum, I sound like a very, super pious guy, but I can't help but seeing this in the Ramban. And for me personally, it's the only thing that gives me a chizuk and gets me out of the dumps. Hashem, you brought us this far. You can't let us down now. Again, the threats here, Iran and the nuclear weapon, I mean, the threats are incredible. How can we survive this? I don't know if we were successful in the last campaign. I'm not sure. I hate to sound like an apikurus, but I don't think we won this war with flying colors. I don't know what you think, but I got my doubts, Okay, so supposedly we knocked off, the tunnels on the periphery that are bordering on Israel. Yeah, but what do they have underneath, underneath the main cities? So I'm saying at the end of the day, well, who destroyed the great mighty nations of Canaan? This was not natural, says the Ramban. Moshe Rabbeinu is sinking this in here. You can't begin to explain rationally or naturally, according to the laws of any sort of military history, that we, the nation of Israel, were able to conquer these Arim Bitzuros. It doesn't make any sense. Says the Ramban, Avol Yad Hashem Asa Sazos Bat Kifin Shebahen. We were able to do this only because of the Yad Hashem. So this is what Moshe is begging Klal Yisrael to pay attention to this. To understand that Hashem Yisparach, and only Hashem Yisparach, is destroying our enemies. And if we understand and inculcate this knowledge, this piece of information, as a idea, not just at the moment that we enter into Israel and vanquish our enemies, the Canaanim, but throughout all generations, Ludore Doros, this is going to be our emunah that's going to carry us through all the generations. Moshe Rabbeinu understands that they have to have a deep, loyal emunah that everything is from Hashem. And without Hashem, we're powerless. We only have a few minutes left, But I just wanted to close the circle here. Most of what I wanted to share with you, I've already shared with you. I want to mention that this Rum Levavcha, according to the Gemara in Sota Daf Hei, is the source for the Iser of Gaiva. And the Ramban, in the same context, sees this as a source for Emuna, the love of Shichacha, and not for Gaiva. In fact, the Ramban learns the Iser Gaiva from a different parsha, and that's in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chaf, with regard to the Melech. Again, we don't have too much time, so again, if you have to go, just go on me. I just quickly want to read the Ramban in a parsha of the Melech, which is in Shoftim, I believe. Let's see if I'm right. Yeah, in Shoftim, Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chaf. And this I don't think I gave you on the list. I don't know, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. And the Torah says, Levilti Rum Levavo, this is after all the prohibitions that apply to a melech, Lo Yarbalo Noshim, and Lo Yarbalo Susim, and the whole bit. And he shouldn't come to have this sense of Rum Levavo. And then, after it says that he should not become haughty over his brethren, he says, and not turn from the commandments right or left. Bilti sur min ha mitzvah yamin usmol. And the Ramban writes the following: Nirmas bekan batorah iser ageus. This parsha of levilti rum levavo meechav in milchama is the source for the prohibition against gaiva, against haughtiness. Now, he used the word nirmas, which means it's only a hint. And I think the reason he's saying so is because, after all, the Torah is addressing the melech, it's not addressing you and I. But the Ramban sees this as a prohibition that's not limited to the melech. HaKosav yimnas ha-melech min ha-geyus romos leif v'kol shkein acherim she'enam ruhim lekach. The chiddush here is that the melech, who's so superior, you know, you could almost justify his sense of arrogance. But kol shkein, which more so, it almost goes without saying, says the Ramban, that we have no justification of having a sense of haughtiness, of superiority, that would be totally inappropriate. Who are we? Ki bara'ui l'sromei melis gadali azirena lios levavo shofel kechol echav haktanim imenu. You know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is warning he who is entitled to this gaiva, to be glorified, to be humble of heart, like all the rest. And certainly, we who are inferior to the melech, certainly have to be very carefully, you know, very carefully far away, far removed from gaiva. The only thing that bothers me is that whereas the Gemara in Sota quotes the parsha of Rum Levavcha in Ekev, which clearly addresses every single rank and file citizen of Klal Yisrael, that's the source for the Iser Gaiva. The Ramban quotes the Parsha of Melech in Shov, that's the source for the Iser Gaiva, and it's very difficult to reconcile the two. But what I do want to suggest, I'm not trying to answer up the Ramban, is that the Ramban, you know, wrote a letter to his son, which is called the Igeres Ramban. You'll see it reprinted in the Sidurim, in many Sidurim in any event. And Viata Bini Da Vere'ei, almost the entire thesis, in the point that he wants to convey to his son, is about Anova, and to avoid the opposite of Gaiva, he says, Da Bini Ure'ei Ki Amizgoa Beliba Al Abrios Morid Hu B'malchus Shamayim. You know, we talk about Midos Tovos and good attributes, but we never believe that there's an element here of merida, of rebellion against Malchus Shamayim. And the Ramban goes on to say that, you know, if we wear the levush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Melech, Geus Lavesh, God has the right to wear the levush of Geus, of greatness, but we steal that from Hashem, then when we exhibit the Midah of Gaiva, it's a merida in the Malchus Hashem. We're almost usurping something that belongs to Hashem. And I think what you derive from this is that the Ramban sees the Iser of Gaiva as something very, very chamur. It's very, very strict and very severe. It's a merida the Malchus Shamayim. And it reminds us of the psukim that we read less than a week ago in Yirmiyahu, when he says, "Ko'amar Hashem al yishalel chacham v'chachmaso, al yishalel agibor v'gvuraso, al yishalel ashir v'ashro." And the pasuk goes on to say that a person shouldn't be big, he shouldn't be arrogant. Ki im bizos yishalel amishalel haskel v'yadua osi ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem. In other words, there's a reish and a seif here. The reish of the pasuk says, "Don't be a bal gaiva." That's what Yirmiyahu wants to tell the people of Israel in Perek Tes. On the other hand, the Sefer tells us, Haskel v'yadua osi, you should know God. And according to the Ramban, in his presentation, in the Igeris that he writes to his son, I think we could begin to connect the Reisha to the Sefer. Because the Ramban identifies Gaiva as a merid of a Malchus Shamayim. So when the Navi says, Yadoa v'haskel v'yadoa osi, basically what he's saying is that if you'll be mishalel, if you'll be big on yourself, give yourself a boost, and blow yourself up as being so great, then basically you're violating haskel v'yadoa osi. On the contrary, says the Ramban, kol adam yegadol mimcha beinecha. Even if you see someone who, on the face of it, is inferior to you, says the Ramban, you should see him as superior. Because God judges a person according to his own capabilities. So maybe he doesn't have the capabilities that you have, and you have greater capabilities. You've been granted intelligence and looks and wealth and the whole bit, and what have you done with it? You're a chotek, chas v'shalom. So he's a shogeg, you're amazing. In terms of the theory of relativity, that's what the Ramban sees as the Midah of Gaiva. And perhaps in this light, we could begin to connect Parshas Ekev, I mean that section that we studied today, with Rum Levavcha, at least according to Gemara and Sota. The Ramban doesn't want to do so, but that's where the Iser Gaiva is, because again, what is the argument that Moshe is coming to undermine in Parshas Ekev, in the Pentishkach? It's kochi v'yotzim yoti. Basically, at the root of it all, our problem is arrogance. And man, the human species, is arrogant, and as a result of his arrogance, he is tempted to deny God. The entire section, whether it's been in Vayeshanan, and especially in Ekev, is coming to counter-argue against any theology that we come up with, any philosophy that would build up man as great and as arrogant, kochi v'yotzim yoti. And at the end of the day, you've got to be a fool to think it's kochi v'yotzim. You have to be a total idiot, because the proof is quite clear. You had no ability of defeating these tkifin. It had to be Yad Hashem. Yirotzom e'rizocha to the mid of Anova, never to be Bali Gaiva. We should always have Hashem in mind. We should attribute every great thing that happens to us as individuals, and certainly to our nation as a whole, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May He continue to protect us until we see the Melech HaMashiach, who will certainly be an Anav, that will arrive speedily in our days. Ken Yiratzon. Amen. Thank you so much. If there are any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Tag members in Jerusalem Post are in our Sheva. Those are my two sources of news. There's an article or report about a commander of troops who sent a letter, notice to the troops before they went to battle. And he invoked Sukim to give everyone peace. We're going out to war, and Hashem should protect us, and everything comes from Hashem, and our faith is in Hashem. And Shem guards Israel, and we shall be Muslim, you know, right. And with all tied in with Psukim. So
very inspiring.
So there was an outcry in the vault from the secularists.
Right. I think it was in Haaretz or something.
Do that, and they want him dismissed because it's not the first time he did such a terrible thing. You hear about that one?
That piece I didn't hear, but you know, I like to see the good side and leave out the bad side. I think we've seen here in Israel, again, I don't want to build it up beyond what it is, but some level of his orus, if I can call it that. And I know personally from one of the chayalim that there were a number of chayalim that were asking for tefillin. And these were people who had no background whatsoever. And I think that when you see some of the videos, again, we may be getting a partial view depending on where, but you see that there was a real feeling amongst the soldiers that Hashem is with them and battling them. Unfortunately, we had many, many losses. So that leaves us in that very ambiguous, complicated state. You know, we can't understand God's judgment. You know, you had people who died who were giving their lives, I mean, for us, and people who came to help the chayalim and were killed, you know. And so it's very difficult. You know, the challenges here are great, and I think, like you say, Yechiel, we need that chizuk. And I feel that more than ever, and I never felt this way before, to read the parashios, and they're talking to us today. It's like as if they're addressing contemporary society here in Israel. I never really felt that. I was Rosh Shiva Mavaser for 18 years. We used to take the boys out on Tiulim, and we would always get a madrich, a guide, who would read the psukim from Tanakh. You know, here's where the confrontation took place between David and Goliath, you know, and act it out. And I believe that we were able, through the Tanakh, to connect people to the land and deepen that connection. But personally, I was never able to do that. I read these psukim now, and especially the way the Ramban embellishes it. The love of the Ramban for the people, the love of the Ramban for the land is just indescribable. And I really get the feeling that, you know, he's talking to us today. So I think you're right. We need that chizuk. We appreciate it. And I think more than you and I know, there are so-called secular chayalim out there who appreciate these words of chizuk. After all, the Tanakh is our possession. Nobody can take it away from us. And it's the oldest book that we have. And maybe the religions of the world, you know, try to abscond with our Tanakh, but it's ours. And they don't know it the way we know it. They can't interpret it the way we interpret it. The Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim, I think more even in his Tshuvas, he writes that the Christians completely corrupt the meaning of the Tanakh. Even more than the Muslims, he claims. We have the interpretation of Tanakh. You know, if I could start my life again, I think I'm a little bit too old for this, but if I could start all over again, I would learn Tanakh. And for whatever reasons, I don't know, man, I don't want to blame it on the schools, because it's always easy to blame it on somebody else. But, you know, I'm beginning to get a little bit of an appreciation for the psukim and the chizuk they give us. And the fact that we are so dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Mirtz Hashem, He'll come through, because we are totally, totally alienated, totally lonely, surrounded by people who don't exactly wish that we were here. I don't know if you saw that picture of the graffiti in one of the schools down in Gaza, that the soldiers took over the school, and the graffiti doesn't even have Israel on the map. You know, it's one of my close associates took an Arab cab driver, a nice guy, you know, just a regular guy who lives here in Israel. And he admitted that we as Arabs cannot accept the existence of Israel here. It's just, this is, the Middle East belongs to us. You can't possibly be here. You know, and if you're here, you know, we'll somehow tolerate it if we have to, but it's just a passing phase, you know. And this is an Arab cab driver who's like, you know, an Israeli citizen.
How long did it take for them to get the Crusaders out? Number of hundreds of years, and they take that view.
Now they have their crusaders, you know. So again, we have to, we can't throw in the towel here, you know. We got to keep pushing. My father used to always say in the name of Rav Herzog, you know, he was the chief rabbi, the Ashkenazic chief rabbi, that Rav Herzog said that Avraham Avinu gets three promises that the land is going to be given to the people, to his descendants. So Rav Herzog said that the first promise lasted until Nebuchadnezzar and his armies sent us into exile. The second promise lasted until Titus and the Romans sent us into exile. The third promise brought us back to the state of Israel today, and there's no fourth promise. This is the end. We're here for permanent. And that's what Rav Herzog believed. And you should know that Rav Herzog said it in 1945 when the Nazis were threatening to come to Palestine and destroy this, you know, the Yishuv. But he said it can't be. There will be no destruction of the Yishuv. Avraham Avinu got three promises. This is the fulfillment of the third promise. There's no need for another promise. So that vart that I heard from my father, who knows how many decades ago, in the name of Rav Herzog, has always, you know, been in the back of my mind. I never felt that I had to take it up front. Now I feel like we got to take it up front. I mean, just the dangers that lurk in the shadows all over, and even in, you know, in front of our very nose. Again, I'm not saying, I don't want to scare you and tell you that the tanks are rolling down the streets of Yerushalayim, but, you know, there are Arim Vitzuros and Gedolos here, and there are powers here that want to see us out of here. We're just the thorn in their sides. So Yiratzon that Hashem will give us that protection, that Yeshua Bekarov. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.